Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. The Lord Jesus declared, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Those words are the reason for the incarnation of Jesus Christ. To learn more, please open your Bible to 1 John chapter 1 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes the second message of our Advent series entitled, Why the Incarnation. He poured out his love, his
forgiveness of sin. There was this anticipation of John that the Lord could come at any moment. And I think that that's a healthy anticipation. Jesus gave a teaching about a faithful servant and a slothful servant. And a slothful servant began to ignore the warnings of Scripture and the promise of the coming of the Lord, and they began to go back to their old lifestyle. But then there was the faithful servant, those who occupied, those who lived their life with the anticipation Christ could come. Jesus could come today. And so many times, even as believers, we're so fearful of the signs of the times, but what are they there for? To remind us that the Savior's coming. The Redeemer's coming. We need to be Savior returning minded, not signs and wonders minded. It's a blessed, healthy attitude to live with the awareness of the Lord's coming. The Apostle John, I'm sure, if he were standing here, would say to you and me this morning that in spite of all of the crazy things that are going on planet Earth, in spite of the things that are going on in our personal lives, the message of the incarnation, or at least part of the message of the incarnation, is that we have fellowship with the Father, and that fellowship would fill us with joy to the brim. Joy. How's your joy level this morning? Well, it depends on what you are looking to supply that joy. Correct? And John wrote to believers like you and I to remind them that their joy was not to be found in this world, even the best of this world, but that the source of our joy could only come through our living relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're living in a world, we're living in a land where there's unjust, despicable things and unjust laws, and we do need to make our voice known and stand up for the truth and stand up for righteousness and just declare the truth of Scripture. That's what we are called to do. But remember, beloved, that while the world dwells on the fears that revolve around all kinds of things, take the topic, elections, wars, finances, pestilences, the sole source of our joy in this fallen world, not just for us, but for any believer at any point in time, either looking forward to the Messiah to come or us having witnessed the coming of the Messiah, the sole source of our joy in this fallen world is knowing and believing that the Father sent his Son to take away our sin, to destroy the works of the devil. Our joy is in a person. Our joy this morning is in Jesus Christ. Amen? You're here. You can wake up. It's okay. It's our source of joy. Now, when you are reading the Bible and you read a word and you want to know what it means, don't go to Webster's Dictionary first. Go to the Bible. Because the Bible always tells you what the Bible means. And joy, your joy, my joy, should not be understood as happiness on flippant emotions that depend upon the chances and changes of life. I think in the Old Testament of a man by the name of Nehemiah. told the Jews who had returned to the land of Israel when they repented after 70 years of captivity that the joy of the Lord is their strength. They had been downcast. And now they've repented. They've returned to the land. And Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. They were bummed out. They were depressed. They were discouraged. And if that's you this morning, my dear brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that the joy of the Lord is your strength too. There is strength in joy. I think of prophesying before Nebuchadnezzar first invaded Judah in 605 BC, at which time Daniel and others were taken captive to Babylon. One of the minor prophets by the name of Habakkuk was commissioned to announce the Lord's intention to punish Judah by this coming deportation into Babylon. And so this was probably one of the darkest times in the history of Israel up to this point. Let me read to you how he closes the letter that contained the warning of the devastation and horrific things that were going to come. Listen to Habakkuk's testimony. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive oil shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, in spite of all of this, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Have you made that determination? That today, in spite of what is happening around me, in spite of what is happening in the world, I choose to rejoice in the Lord. I joy in the God of my salvation. Will you join me? You see, this time of year, we are called to be ambassadors to the world. We are to be ambassadors of life, ambassadors of hope. And I don't know, the little bit that I do go shopping, I'd rather delegate that to my wife. But people just look bummed out. Rudolph can't change that. Frosty can't change that. Santa isn't coming to town. Don't lie to your kids. I was lied to. I will rejoice in the Lord. You can see it in their faces, the despair, the emptiness, the sadness. You can see it. And if it weren't for Christ, we would be there, right? We are to be the witnesses. And so you walk in to Wegmans. You walk to Eastview Mosque, whatever they call that thing. And you just walk in praying, Lord, please open the door. Help us to be a witness to this lost people. And just praying for an opportunity to share the gospel. And he's always does. Always does. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, joy is one of the strongest powers in the world. Someone who is in the state of joy is, in a sense, afraid of nothing. But again, in Hebrews chapter 12, lest we think that joy is some kind of a giddy feeling, we read of Jesus who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He knew that he was going to the cross. He knew why he was going to the cross. He saw past going to the cross. He saw and he knew he would rise again the third day. He knew that he would ascend to the Father. He knew that he was going to pay the price for your sin and my sin, and that those who trusted in him would be filled with joy for the joy of your salvation this morning. He went to the cross. He despised the shame. We need to endure. How do we endure in these difficult times? We've got quite a future. The best is yet to come for you and I. Amen? Now, living for Jesus on earth is better than it was. But your best life is not now. Don't buy the book. The best is yet to come. We have this glorious hope that when we breathe our last breath on planet earth, we are going to inherit the oxygen of heaven and see our Lord face to face. Death is horrible. Some of us, all of us, have lost loved ones. We miss them dearly. And in some way, the holidays are not the same, but we have this blessed hope, don't we? We know we're going to be with them. I told you guys that when my mom was dying of cancer, she lived with us, and that night when she passed away and kneeled next to her bed when she breathed the last breath, and I says, "Mommy, I'm going to see you in a second, and I will. I know I will." She's going to look more beautiful than ever. We have that hope. We have that joy, don't we? Don't we? As long as our mind is stayed on him. When Jesus was at the end of his time on earth, we read in Luke chapter 24, beginning of verse 50, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." Sometimes people will come, and if they're not familiar with the scriptures, they wonder, what's everybody doing? Why is Chris up here like this? Why is Pastor Ray in the front? Why? Well, it's biblical. Now, I told you guys the story. When I first got saved, after the lifestyle I got saved from, my wife attended a very charismatic church. And the first Sunday morning I went, as soon as the worship team started, everybody's hands went up in the air. And I thought, these guys are a bunch of criminals. That was the only time I ever saw people raise their hands. They're crooks. What am I doing here? And then I read in the Bible. Yeah, it's a symbol. Yes, I was a criminal, but I've been set free. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? So he lifted up his hands. He blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, knowing what they were going to experience. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So why the incarnation? Well, sometimes it's necessary to hear bad news. I've given you the good news. Now let me give you some bad news, then we'll go back to the good news. Okay? Well, since I have the microphone, it's going to be okay. That's the way it's going to go. Why the incarnation? Because before an individual experiences the good news of the incarnation, we must first have an understanding of the bad news, which can be summed up in the one word that separates fallen man from a holy God. It's a three-letter word, and it is sin. My sin, your sin, separates you from a holy God, and you can do nothing about it. Neither can I. Religion cannot do anything about it. But God sent his Son to do everything about it. What is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is rebellion against God. Listen to Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. "And you has he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." See, right now your spirit is dead. Dead in the Bible speaks of separated from God. You're separated from fellowship with God. You may be related to him as creator and creature, but you can't say Father until you're born again. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others." That's us, by nature, children of wrath. Now, many of you may have been blessed to be raised in a Christian home. What a blessing that is. Never, never take for granted the fact that you were raised in a Christian home. No Christian parents are perfect, but if they've lived the Christian life and pointed you to Jesus Christ, you should be thankful. But you may have been raised in a Christian home, but you weren't born into the world a Christian. You need to be born again. As wonderful as grandchildren are on planet Earth, God doesn't have any. He only has children. You must be born again. So what's the sin problem? Where did it come from? Romans 5:12, "As by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." When Adam believed the lie of the enemy instead of the truth of God, sin came into the world. And we die because of sin. And that's been passed on to all men. The Bible says, as far as the resurrection of the body at the end of the ages, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every human being is going to be raised and given an immortal body to dwell in one of two places, heaven or hell. Those are the only two destinies for mankind. The Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. And it's his job to blind people to the truth of the gospel. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, that the whole world lies in the power of wickedness. This fallen world system is being governed by and ruled by the spirit of Antichrist, whose mission is to blind, to steal, to kill, to destroy. Christ came to put that to an end. So in one sense, as a believer, we are redeemed, but we're waiting for the full redemption. We receive it now, but the best is yet to come. So why the incarnation? Well, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, beginning of verse 19, we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's like when you drive down the road, the speed limit signs, they tell you that's the speed limit. My wife was telling me yesterday, she goes, sweetie, you know, I'm just concentrating on the road. I don't even notice those things. Don't tell, okay. If any one of you tell my beautiful wife that, okay, just ignore it. That's how you know. 35, 55, yield, stop. Doesn't mean slow down. Stop, right, okay. By the laws and knowledge of sin. So the law is good because we need to hear the law. It convicts us, right? It convicts us of the sin nature that we have. And so now, why was Jesus manifested? But now, when's now?
Now.
Now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is manifested, made known, revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now check this out. Being justified freely by his grace. Free for you and me. But the cost was Christ. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. So as Chris reminded us this morning, we're no more just today. We can never be any more just. We're just before God. Right before God. Isn't that a blessing? We are in right standing before God because of Christ. That's why our theme this year is why the incarnation. Because you and I, as the church, are commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Again, in Luke chapter 24, beginning of verse 46, Jesus says, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. That's the reason for the incarnation. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Now, this is a time of the year where we give gifts. I think it's nice to give gifts. How many of you like to get gifts? How many of you drop suggestions to your wife, to your kids, to your grandkids, right? But this is a time of gift giving. The Puritans used to say, God emptied the bank of heaven to redeem bankrupt man. Romans 6:23 puts it this way, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, some of you may be here this morning and say, well, I don't think we can know that we have eternal life. I don't think we can know that our sins are forgiven. Well, John writes, 1 John 2:12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Are forgiven. I write unto you, little children. John writes in chapter 5, this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that is not the Son of God has not life. And these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. You can know that you have eternal life today. Amen? That means you can know that your sins are forgiven if you have trusted in Jesus Christ. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son does not have life. In other words, you know if you are born again. The Spirit dwells inside of you. There's the testimony of Christ inside of you. If you don't know, in a couple of minutes, after the worship team leads us in a closing song, there will be men up front that can show you from the Word of God that you can have your sins, the sins, the debt is paid. You can receive that gift today and know that you're forgiven. For the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. If you will trust Christ this morning, you can have that assurance. That is the greatest gift. Isn't it amazing? On the birthday of Christ, God gives his Son as a gift to you to be received, or it can be rejected. Ephesians 2, beginning of verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, though the best is yet to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Gift of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. It's the message of forgiveness of sin that manifests itself in this relationship with the living God and an inexpressible joy. And this morning, as we close in worship, I mentioned the two lists, the secular and the Christian. And it could be that for some of you here today or watching online, the Spirit of God is going to open your eyes and open your heart, and you're going to be born again, and you will walk out of here not singing about Frosty the Snowman, but glory to God in the highest. You will start singing a new song. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.